Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Many of you, in fact, maybe even most of you know that Sarah has spent the last several weeks, or I guess even the last month or two now, working in the Everett School District. She's been helping with some of their standardized testing and things like that. And for the most part, it has gone well. It's been your kind of typical teenage drama that you find in a middle school. You know, it happens. But she's always kind of gotten a kick out of that stuff. So she comes home with her amusing stories of so-and-so's talking about such-and-such and who's quote-unquote dating who and, you know, kid stuff. Things changed a little bit last Friday morning. I received a text message from her that a girl at the school had chosen to end her life the night before. And the teachers and the administration were discussing how to notify the girl's friends because they didn't know, and how to notify the rest of the students. And this girl was 13 years old. We take comfort in our sufferings knowing that they produce endurance. And this endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope will not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. That girl, that child, did not find comfort in her suffering. She did not find hope in it. And I don't know much about her life because I obviously never met her, but from what I have heard thus far, I know that she was dealing with parents who were both struggling with addiction, at least one of whom was absentee. And that's a pretty big suffering for a child. And that's a lot to ask a 13-year-old to take comfort in. And as Christians, as people of faith, as those who walk with Christ, we need to understand that that is the world that many people live in. A world where sufferings have no clear road to growth, let alone to hope. A world where pain and where loss and where fear are too often overwhelming. And who knows? Maybe some of you find yourselves living in that world from time to time. How do you lift up hope in the face of suffering without sounding hollow or trite? How do you lift up faith in the face of suffering without sounding clueless or distant? How do you lift up hope in the face of suffering without sounding arrogant and just flat out wrong? Well, for what it's worth, when you look at that passage from Paul, recognize that he isn't just talking to others, quote unquote, others. He counts himself amongst those who have suffered. Romans is written near the end of Paul's ministry. A lot of people think it's the last verified letter we have that he wrote. And at this point in his ministry, he has been through a lot. He's been imprisoned multiple times. He's been beaten multiple times. He has been tortured multiple times. He's had threats made on his life. He's had to flee in the dark for that reason. He's been shipwrecked 3 times. Which, on a side note, means never get on a boat with Paul. Just saying, 3 is a lot, man. And he has spent a large part of his life hungry and basically homeless and alone. Paul is writing from a specific perspective, a perspective of one who has truly suffered Hope is not academic for him. Hope is not theory. Hope is not words on paper. Hope is what has allowed him to survive, and perhaps even to thrive. But again, recognize that he wrote this after that experience. He wrote this as one who has come through those experiences and is looking back on his life. And he is writing to others who are facing similar sorts of suffering in the name of the gospel. Paul is not saying, buck up. He's not saying, stop whining. In some ways, he's not even just saying, it's going to be okay. Paul is saying, I have been through hell too. And I want you to know that it is possible to survive. Because I have. Today is Mother's Day. And if we look at the stereotypes of what makes a good and healthy mother, we see images of safety and comfort, images of hope. God as mother, mothering God, is not an image we use enough in the church, which is a shame, because it's a pretty great image. It's a pretty great model. Because a large part of being an authentic Christian is caring for one another and looking out for one another. As we have spent the last several weeks and months navigating the process of a sale of our site and looking at ways to reform ourselves in a new location, a common value that I have heard from people is about the importance of community. And how many of you have expressed that that is one of your primary goals, is to maintain and grow community, to care for one another and to care for those outside these walls, to welcome all, to truly be Bethel, to be God's house. Because a healthy community is about caring. And just as importantly, knowing and feeling that you are cared for is a huge part of having hope. Each person in this room carries their own pain. Some of it I know, but some of it I have been privileged to hear over the last 3 years. And some of it is small, and some of it is large, and some of it is old, and some of it is all too fresh. And neither I, nor you, nor anyone else can just take that away from one another like that. But we can help each other bear it. And we can help each other process it. We can be there for one another. We can reach out to others. We can reach out to others to see if they're okay without worrying about offending them. How many times does someone ask me, do you know how so-and-so is doing? And my first thought is always, call them yourself. Not because I can't, but you can. We all can. That's what being community is. Knowing it's okay to check in. You don't need permission. And knowing that when someone does, you don't need to be embarrassed. Why on earth would you be embarrassed about being loved? We are called to care for one another openly. I'm an old school Scandinavian Lutheran. I know what it is to be stoic. I also know it's not necessarily the best way to go about showing your love. Because I don't think hope always comes to us before we have dealt with our pain. And then it miraculously guides us through it, with all due respect to Paul. I think that hope also comes to us as we are held and lifted up by others who have dealt with their pain, who have made it to the other side, and who are ready to stand with those who are just starting out. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O gracious God, for community. We give you thanks for love, for the opportunities to care for one another, to be examples of your love and compassion for all creation. We ask you on this day to be with all of those who have lost loved ones, to be with all of those who suffer, all of those who hurt. We ask you to help us to know how to care for one another, to be there for one another, and when we don't know, to be willing to admit that we don't, and to still try anyway. We give you thanks for the chance to gather together in your name, and we pray all of these things, trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.